I hope that you want a blessing this morning, because we're going to be dealing with God's blessings through obedience. Now, the reason you'll have a blessing today, and it won't be because of me, but because of your obedience to what God has called us to be. Do not forsake the assembling ourselves together. That means every time that the church has church, you should be here if you want a blessing of God, because he have commanded you to do so. And if you want a blessing, it's because you obeyed the word of God. It always comes through obeying the word of God. Wednesday night is obeying the word of God. If you want a blessing, and I'm sure that you would like to have a blessing each day, each week, and every day from the Lord, it comes through obedience. God's blessings through obedience. And these are scriptures that I know that you've heard many times before. Old Naaman, he was a Syrian, and he was getting healed because he obeyed what the man of God, Elisha, had told him to do. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and he would be healed. And that is obedience. He got a blessing of his life. He got healed because he was willing to obey the word of God. It was a great miracle in his life. Each one of us this morning would like to have a miracle this day, but few miracles are seen this day because we do not obey the word of God as we should obey the word of God. If you want a blessing, you want a miracle, obey. That old song in our hymn books, go trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It all comes through obeying the word of God. Now, the blessings today, as we obey, we know in the word of God, they are hundreds of promises in the word of God to bless us. Many, many hundred promises in the Bible to bless us. But to bless us, we need to obey the commandments of the Lord to make these promises activated that we may receive the blessing. Now, you coming this morning that you obey the word of God. It is commanded us to come to church. It's not how you feel, how you want to, how you believe, what I think about it. God has commanded you any time that this church meets in the name of Jesus Christ, you are commanded to be here. So if you want a blessing, you must obey the command of God to receive the blessing of the promise that he has promised us. I know from time to time that most of us have a charge card, calls them Visa, MasterCard, or whatever it might be, and most of them have these charges. And sometimes you might say, well, that's not a blessing, that's a curse. It's just how you use that card. But most of us have some cards from time to time, and after they get so many months old, they expire, and they will send you another card. And most of us know when they send you another card, there'll be a number on that card, and it may be worth $25,000 that you want to charge, $10,000, $5,000, whatever you set it up to be on that new card they give you. But you must activate that card completely and totally the way they tell you to do so, or that money on there, you cannot use that card, not to charge $1 until you activate that card. Well, I'm going to tell you, to activate the Spirit of God, get the blessings, I'm going to tell you, to activate what God has given you, you must obey. Now, you had a charge card whenever you was born into this world. A charge card unto you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, then everything that you've done, all that your sin was being piled up on you, all the year that you live until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that great burdens of sin have been on your shoulder. Sometime maybe as you was a child when you got saved. Sometime people was older like me when you got saved. But there was a burden of sin on my shoulder because I had charged all this sin to my account. And it was getting heavy, a burden for me. And a lot of people knows it's a regular charge card from time to time. They don't know how to use it. They don't use it correctly. And they run up a charge card. And it's a great burden to them. But when Jesus Christ, he come, knocked on my door, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, he gave me a new charge card, and he wiped out my old charge card, and he activated, through my faith in Jesus Christ, he activated that new card he gave me. Now everything is charged to Jesus Christ. He gave me his righteousness. And the blessings that I received this day and the blessings that I have received from time I have been saved, because I activated that faith that Christ gave me as a gift, and I activated that I might be able to receive the blessings. Have you received blessings since you were saved? How many blessings have you received since you have been saved? That you activated those blessings by obeying the Word of God. The first one that I activated was that I believed that I was a sinner. Not believed, I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew if Jesus Christ would come in my heart and forgive me my sins, if I would ask him to, I would be saved. I activated that first card that God gave me, and I activated that first great blessing and the great miracle by faith of obeying him. But listen, it don't stop there. It keeps going. Now, this man Naaman is going to give us an example. I've been studying this and read it over many, many times. There's a lot of lessons for us to learn. But reading this, really, verse of Scripture from 1 through 15, we'll not read them all. We'll deal as many of them as I have time to deal with this hour. But it's activating our blessings through obedience, just like we activate a card through obedience. The promises in the Word of God. As we read this now, the blessing comes from obedience. Verse 1 through 4, and then we'll add as many verses as we can to this. Most of you know the story about old Naaman. He was a captain in the Syrian army, and he had leprosy, and there was no cure for leprosy at that time. But there was a little handmaid, we fixed to read about it, was captured from Israel, brought into that land of Assyria, and she was a soul winner. She was an active soul winner, and she told the wife of Assyrian that she said that of the Naaman that, you know, there's a man there that lives in Israel, and he is a great prophet of God. Now, a prophet of God had great power, and the reason he had great power because God let people know, the nation of Israel know, that through this man that I'm assigning a prophet there has power to know that I'm God. She said, man, I tell you what, if she could just get over there to that man named Elisha, I'm going to tell you what, he has power, and he would heal this man. So the story starts there, and you know, the captain of the Assyrian army sent a letter and a note to the king of Assyria and saying, hey, here's a bunch of money, here's a bunch of clothes, here's a bunch of gold, and I want this man. He's a great man of God, this man of Naaman, and I'd like for him to be healed. And then the story goes on. Now, for this man to be healed, and he wanted to be healed, and for this man to be healed, and for a great blessing on his life, and for you and I this morning, if you want a blessing, and every one of us do, or we wouldn't be here, you want a blessing upon your family, you want a blessing upon your life, and your children's life, but I'm going to tell you what, blessings only come through obedience. God wants to do far more in your life right now than you ever dreamed that he wants to do, but he cannot do them because of disobedience. Because of disobedience. If we would obey God more, do anybody have any doubt in their mind here this morning? If we would obey God more, that God would bless us more? Do anybody have any doubt in their mind about that? If you would obey and do the things that God has told you to do, the simple A-B things of the spiritual life, that God would give you a great, great blessing, even here this day. We're here today because we want a blessing, and you have obeyed. But it goes far, far, far more than just being in the house of God. So let's read these few verses and kind of whet our appetite that we understand obedience to the Word of God. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Assyria, was a great man and his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Assyrian had gone out by company and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little girl, a little maiden, and she was waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, our Lord, were with a prophet that is in Assyria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said this little young lady, said the maiden, that it is of the Lord, land of Israel. If you would just go, he would heal you. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for the great blessings, oh God, that we just see on the pages of the Word of God this hour. Father, as we look out into the congregation this morning, and you see the souls of people, Father, that you died for on Calvary's cross, and Father, you have blessed them in a great way because of salvation. And Lord, we know it don't just stop at salvation because we have a life in Christ Jesus. But Father, we have abundant life. And this abundant life, God, that you like to pour out upon so many of us here today, if we'd only trust and obey the Word of God and what God tells us to do, how much happier that we would be. But how much more contentment we'd have in our life. How much more peace we would have this day. And Father, I want to thank you and praise you, God, for allowing me to look in the mirror of God's Word and see this great power in your Word of God here this day. And Father, it's for the people this day, they might carry it with them, oh God, and they leave with a blessing today because they understand obedience, oh God. And Father, how we thank you, Lord, and pray, God, that you might open up the hearts and the minds of the people here this day, and it might catch on to their family members and their loved ones and their friends and to our country and, Father, to our nation here this day, that we must obey to receive the blessing, God, that you have intended for us as a nation, as a people, Father, and even down to this small congregation that we have here this hour. Father, we thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen and amen. So as you know the story, O Naaman, he went to the Syrian. He says, now he went to Elisha, and he says, you know what? Here I am now, stands outside the door. We'll learn in just a moment. Here I am. I want you to heal me. And you see, old Elisha didn't even come out and talk with him. He said, told his servant, said, hey, go tell him go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Oh, he said, that kind of got him mad. I thought he's going to want me to do some great thing or not, but I didn't do anything. He just said to go ahead and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Didn't even come out and recognize who I am. Made the man mad. He started to go away. And then his servant said, well, now, if he would ask you to do some great big things, you would have done it. But he asked you to do a small thing. Well, you know, Naaman, he just repented, went and dipped 7 times in the River Jordan, and a great blessing and a miracle. You know why it happened? Because he obeyed the Word of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is sitting right here ready to throw a great blessing at you. There are some people having problems in their family. There are some sick problems, there are emotional problems, there are spiritual problems, there's this problem. I don't know how many problems, but everybody here, there's a problem to fit everybody in this building this hour. And I tell you, God is sitting back ready to throw a miracle, ready to throw a blessing at you. But you see, a lot of time we cannot activate that great blessing and promise because we will not obey the simple things of God. This is a very, very interesting story here this morning. To start with, a lesson concerning obedience. To learn how to activate your card. This blessing of obedience that we need to learn here today. Because you see, as we read this, there's so many lessons for us today. But to start with, I'm going to tell you what. There's a point of obedience. And the point of obedience is, to start with, you see, if you have this little card that you want to activate, to start with, you got to do everything that they tell you to do on this card. There's some certain numbers they tell you that you must call in. Maybe there's a dozen numbers. Maybe they just sick number. Whatever not be the numbers it is, and they'll tell you to call this number in to activate your card. They say, I don't want to call all those numbers in. I just pick out whatever I want to call. I call whatever numbers I want to. Your card will not be activated because there is a point of obedience, and the point of obedience is God's Word. It's not what you think, what you want to do, how you want to behave, what you think about the subject. It is God's Word is the point of obedience to receive the blessing that God have intended for each and every one of us to receive. The major, major point is, now, all blessings has a point, and that point is obeying. Now, in verse 10, if you drop down, you keep your Bibles open, and I hope that you bring your Bibles, because you need to bring your Bibles to church, and your church, you know, because you need to read your Bible. But anyhow, verse 10, and Elisha sent a message unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and the flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, here it is, the point of obedience is to hear and do the Word of God. Now, we can't obey until, first of all, that you know what God's telling us to do. Now, first of all, before you can receive the blessing that God intends for you to receive this hour and next week and next month and next year and to your family, the point of it is you must hear the Word of God. I mean, God must reveal himself. We must obey, but we can't obey until we understand, until we know what God is telling us to do. Now, most of us, including myself, I already know more than I'm willing to do. Did that fit anybody? Thank you. We're all guilty, are we not? You know, I first started reading the Bible. Didn't know anything about the Bible very much. I started reading the Bible. I said, "Ooh, I better stop right here. I already know more than I can do." But it's too late. It's too late when God reveals something to you. You can't never take it back. You won't never come. You're going to have to go on through with it then. You're going to have to still read it. So listen, you think about this. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must obey. Now, there are several mistakes that old Naaman made. Start with, he went to the wrong voices. He went to the wrong people. In other words, activate your card, you might be called the wrong person. Well, you know what? He listened to the wrong voices. The king of Israel went to the king of Israel, you know, and hey, I want this man healed. And the king of Israel says, I don't have no answer. I don't have no power to do this. It's the same thing of our country today. You know what? Reason that we're in the country, I'm reading the problem that we're in our country, and even in our personal lives and our family lives today, the problem, you know what? Because we've gone to the wrong man. It's man, because you see, we need to go to God, and we go to man. Now, you see, the President of the United States, that's the wrong man. I mean, the president is great in a lot of areas, and I'm not talking about the one that's on the throne now, but the president is great for our country. But you see, he's the wrong man. He can't solve these problems because he's listening to the wrong voices. I'm telling you, the problem we have too. Now, the king of Israel, Naaman, in order to obey, first thing, he had to know what was expected of him, what to do, what was the purpose of it. You and I, the same thing, obey. Obey, we need to more know what we're talking about. So the word of God tells us as we listen to God. You see, if you know what? If this country would start listening to God again, you know what? It would change overnight. We're listening to the wrong people. We're listening to man. Listen to the king of Israel. I don't care how great this king of Israel was. He said, I can't help this man. And I'm going to tell you what, if Congress would throw up their hands and this excuse for a president that we got that squats on our throne would throw up his hands and say, I don't have the answers to the problem of our country, but God does. What a change would be. But they're listening to the wrong people and the wrong voices today. And we need to understand that. And that's not only for our church. That's not only for the president and for our nation. I'm going to tell you that goes to you personally. And that goes to your family personally this day. And the blessing that you would have if you would start listening to what God says and obey what God has commanded for us to obey. What a great blessing that we have. And your life and your family life would change overnight, including myself, if we would start obeying what we should do. He says in the Bible, he that has an ear, let him hear, let him hear. Do you have an ear? That means an understanding, an accepted ear to hear what God says. Does anybody in this building have an ear to hear what God's saying today that you need to obey God to receive the blessing that God wants to give you? I mean, the God that created this universe is powerful enough to throw the stars into orbit, powerful enough to create an earth and establish a place that mankind can live and survive on this earth. And the same God is a God of yesterday, the God today, and a God forevermore, is the one that wants to bless you above and beyond anything of your imagination that God could do for you. He's waiting for one thing, and that is for you to know what he wants to do and to have the promise of God and then to do what he has told you to do, that he may release this and activate these blessings upon you by doing what God has called us to do, hearing the word of God. That's the reason that we need to have our quiet time. That's the reason every day, if you get a chance before you eat breakfast or anything else, you need to have a few moments of quiet time. Most companies this day now, when they start off the day, they have a conference room. They have a conference room because they want to establish what they want to do that day and this week what they want to do. And they call their heads in for a conference room. Well, you need a conference room with God before you go out and try to establish anything that you think that you need to do and have a quiet right time, it is your duty with the Word of God. But not only that, you see, the point of obedience, but see, we have a priority of obedience. And that is, I said, that you need to call all these numbers on that charge card that they have give you. You call all these numbers, because that's a priority number that has give you. Now, verses 11 and 12 tells us again, but Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, though I was surely come out, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. Are not the Ephraim and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Now listen, there's no substitute for obedience. There's no substitute for obedience. Whenever we're commanded to come to church, they are no substitute for obedience. Woo! Did I get that one through? Listen, what we have here, the substitute, he tried several things here. There are three things he tried to substitute for obedience. And the same thing a lot of us are trying. Now, what he did, substitute human reasoning for obedience. Well, it just don't seem like I got to do every time the doors is open. Well, you know what? You're substituting human reason for obedience. And he tried the same thing. Now, I thought, he said, you know, that God would come out and do it this way. I thought maybe God would just come out and do it this way. So he tried to substitute human reason for obedience. But you see, the Bible is not a book for you to understand. We understand a lot in the Bible, but I'm going to tell you there's a lot of things I don't understand. In fact, there's more of the Bible that I don't understand than I do understand. But whether I understand or not understand, I take it by trust. The Bible is a book of blessings and a book to be obeyed, whether you believe it or not. There's a lot of things I don't know and don't understand, but I go ahead and do it because I believe it and I obey it because God said it. And that settles it. It's finished. And God's not going to change for you, and he's not going to change for me. Now, you say, you know, I thought they'd do it this way. It's just like you activating your card and you want to do it this way. You try to call up that company and then you start explaining to them what you want to do with this card and how you want to activate this card, and you will never get your card activated because they have a start with a point of obedience. They have a priority of obedience to do exactly what they told you to do and how that they told you to do that. So he tried, you know, to substitute human reasoning for obedience, and it will never, never work. You see, it says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and verses 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Trust and obey, not just to understand. You see, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we don't understand. People thought God ought to do something this way, but God done it this way. You see, whenever old Paul was after the church, his name was Saul, and he was making havoc of the church, and he was putting people in jail and had them killed, you know, and the Christian people was praying, kill him, God, kill him. He's tearing up Christianity. Kill him, God, kill him. And I want you to strike him dead. You know what God done? He done exactly different to human reason. He struck Paul alive. And thank God he did, because we got most of the New Testament because he struck him alive. Well, how about whenever Moses, they was out there in the wilderness, nation of Israel by the millions, and you know what? They had these snakes was biting them because of disobedience, and they was dying one after the other. They was dying. Kids was dying. Grown people was dying. Old was dying. Young was dying. People was dying because they were getting snake bit. There was no cure. And they said, pray to God, Moses, tell God to take away these snakes, to kill these snakes. And you know what God done? He took a snake, and brass snake, and he said, put it on a pole, Moses, and walk through the camp, and one look is all it took. Right opposite what human reasoning thought would cure what was wrong with them. And so many times you got some problem in your life and you think God ought to do this and God should do that, you know, and we don't know what to pray for. You know, yesterday I was in a limbo praying for someone up there in the hospital. Brother Marshall Odom talking about praying for someone who's going through the valley of the shadow of death. What to pray for? I don't know what to pray for, but God does. I don't know what to ask for, but God does. My human reason cannot understand what God wants to do, and yours can't either. But you know what? You just pray in the name of God. You know what Moses done? He just made a snake. You know what God told him, and the people was healed. But not only that, you know what? We have a lot of trouble that going along in our world now, in our society. Always have been since the Garden of Eden. Looked like God would kill old Satan, don't it? God killed Satan, get rid of evil. You know what? Instead of killing Satan, you know what God done? He killed his son on the cross of Calvary. Human reasoning. Looked like he just got rid of Satan, don't it? But our human reasoning. See, the problem that we have with the United States, I'm going to tell you, is because of human reasoning above God's word. Same thing with our church and our family and also in our personal life this day. You see, number two, there's no substitute for human resources for obedience. Now, verses 5 that I just read, I think I read it. Anyhow, the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And departed, and I took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 chambers of raiment. Drop down in verse 9. And Naaman came with the horses and with chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now we have this great man. I mean, he has a great reputation, human resources, all the money that he has. He stands there, all this great man. But you know what? God said it is better to sacrifice it is, you know, for a fat of rams, O King Saul. You can't buy God, and you can't brag, and you can't bribe God. God said it, and that settles it. But you see, there was that resource that people have. I don't know what we'll do, and you know what? That's exactly another problem that we're in this country. Throw more money at this problem. Human resources instead of doing what God told us. And I could go on this. There are several things I need to talk about in this. But reputation also is no substitute for obedience. Reputation is no substitute for obedience. Verse 1, remember now what it said in verse 1. Now Naaman was a captain of the host now. Remember what he was now. He had great reputation of the king of Assyria. Was a great man. And then also at 5 again, it says, you know what he was. He was a great man, a captain in the Assyrian army. He was a great man, had great reputation. But it don't matter about what your reputation, and it don't matter who you are or what you have done in the past. It's what you need to do now when obeying the word of God. Now, you go to your Visa card. They just sent you another Visa card. I'm glad God showed me this because most people like charge cards. But listen, you go to that Visa card. They have just sent you another Visa card. And you must activate that card. And by activating that card, you were going to go ahead and call them. And now, whenever you call them, you say, I don't want to read you these numbers because I have been a member of this Visa card for 40 years. I've never been late on a bill. I've been good. I've been a good customer for 40 years. And I don't think I need to activate this card. I just want to call you and tell you I want to use this card. You will not be able to use that card. I don't care about your reputation, and they don't care about your reputation. They care what they have told you to do. Don't matter about your reputation. That will not take the place of obedience to what they told you to do about that car. Listen, it don't matter what you done last year, 10 years ago, 40 years ago in this church for Jesus Christ. It's what God wants you to do this year, right now, this hour, this month, next week, right now. You need to obey what God has told you to do right now, this very, very moment. Because, you see, there's only one alternative to obedience, and that is disobedience. You either obey or you disobey. That's all they are to it. But now we drop on down now, perfection now of this obedience. There comes a time for perfection. Now you've done everything you're supposed to do. Now you have activated your card. You've done what they have told you to do. Verse 10, now Elisha sent the messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now you activated, you've done what God told you to do. Now he says you can do this. But to start with, you know, perfection of this obedience. You must do exactly what they told you to do on that card. Every number you must call out. Everything they told you to do that you must do. Now, what if he went and just dipped only 8 times in the Jordan River? Or 10 times? Or 20 times? Or just 1 time? 7 means perfection. In the Bible, numbers mean something. Number 1 means unity. Number 2 means witness. 2 or more witness together. 3 means deity. 4 is the earth number, and 6 is man number, but 7 is perfection. He said 7 times to obey the word of God. God, if you want to bless me, you must obey. If you want your blessing today, you must obey perfectly what God has said for us to do. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You knew that you ought to have been in church today. Everybody that's a born-again child of God has ever been born again knows they should have a local church and they should be in church. Everybody knows this. That is a command of God. Is it not? That is command of God. But you see, that's perfection. If you want God to bless you, it must be 100%. Okay, I just think, you know, the Bible says you need to tithe. I mean, that's the first part of your check. It comes into your household before anything's stuck out. You need to tithe. Well, I won't give 10%, but I will give 5%. If I don't give 5%, I'll just give 2%. Well, old Naaman just dipped 3 times or 5 times in the River of Jordan. Would he got healed? He would not have received that great blessing that God has stored upon him. That lesson, obey perfectly in small things. Now, you see, he was willing to do something big, but he couldn't understand this small thing. In verse 13, you know, it says, now, and his servant came near and spoke unto him and said, my father, if thy prophet had bid thee to do great things, wouldst thou not have done it? How much more rather than he would you said to thee, wash and be clean? Well, he said, if you'd done something big, he wouldn't have done it. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10 also says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Small things, old Naaman would have went to that river in Assyria and he would have never been healed. I don't go back home, I've never been healed. Perfection of obedience. But rushing on to the best part of it that I like is in it is the power of obedience. The power of obedience. You see, Orville, they sung that song of special anointing. You know what the anointing is? Everybody is saved, has got the Spirit of God living in them. But the anointing is something God special has called you to do and a special time that God has called you to do it. That's a special anointing. And this comes from a power now of obedience, the power of obedience. Now, you see, there's a power and blessings of plenty. In other words, in verse 14, it says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. See, to start with, there's power in obedience. The power there in obedience is a power of plenty, plenty. The one reason that we see fewer miracles in our church, in our life today, because we don't completely obey the word of God. As we look in the Bible, you see we're dealing with obedience now and blessings. Obedience and blessings. Now, in Deuteronomy, I'll tell you one thing. If you're not being blessed, there's another way out of it, and that's being cursed. In Deuteronomy 11 and verse 26, and God's talking to the nation of Israel about doing everything I've told you to do when you move into the promised land. And listen, this deals with us today. It says, now, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Now, that is for everybody, every child of God here this day is born again. I set before you this day, a blessing and a cursing. Verse 27 says, a blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Do y'all believe the word of God that I'm talking about right now? And then it says in verse 28, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I have commanded you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. And I'm going to tell you, we are living in a country today that's being cursed. Why? Because we are going after other gods. I'm going to tell you what, there's a god of sports that people worship every day on Sunday on a field somewhere or another or in front of a television and other things that they are worshiping today, and we're being cursed. It was to Israel, and I tell you, to the United States today, what determines or not whether we receive a blessing or a cursing, and I'm going to tell you what it is, and that is obedience. And I'm going to tell you, or either disobedience to the nation of Israel, also to our nation today. Our country, I'm telling you what, is heading down a bad road. But we see we have a blessing of plenty, and this blessing of plenty now because of obedience. And this blessing of plenty now in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, y'all better listen good now. If you be willing and obedience, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword from the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now that's to you as a person, that's to you as a nation, that's to all nations this day. for the United Nations, for 200 years, we have sat back and absorbed God's blessings by the millions and trillions of blessings that God has blessed this nation that you and I are living in today. It's called the United States of America. Why? Because we was willing and to obey, and we ate the good of this land and this country that you and I are living in today. These verses tells us now that many, many times whenever this country didn't have very much, but little was much in the hand of God. And I'm going to tell you, when there was no help of the government, praise God, got government out of it, there was no help, but there was always God. And God says, I'll bless you. And I'll tell you, God has blessed some of your forefathers when they didn't have anything but a tater bank and a corn crib and a can of syrup. And I'm going to tell you what, then they raised children on that, and they hadn't had no help from the Social Security, they had no help from welfare, but they had help from the greater power in the world, and that was God Almighty. Buddy, I want to tell you, he said, if you'll just come and do what I'm telling you, he says, you'll have blessings if you just obey the word of God. There was blessings of plenty. They weren't everything that you wanted, but there was everything that you needed, and God brought you out. And I'm going to tell you what, God continues to bring people out if they obey the word of God. There was blessings of plenty. Why? Because this country obeyed the word of God, and I'm going to tell you, they prayed to the man of God, and I'm going to tell you what, this is what God done for this nation. Let me tell you, there's the blessings of peace. Jeremiah 26:13 tells us. Also, in Jeremiah, he says, therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against thee. I want to tell you a blessing of peace. Did you know we have forced God to put this country under God's judgment? We have forced God to put this nation under the hand and the judgment of God. But listen to what God said again in Jeremiah. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of God, your Lord, and he will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against the nation of the United States of America. I believe there's still hope if we would turn back. I believe there'd be still hope if the churches was filled up with people that claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and get busy worshiping, serving God instead of just having fun. Listen to what it says. The judgment of God. Anybody that disobeys God, the people's looking for peace, there'll be no peace until they accept the peace of God in their heart this day. The peace, and not only that, families in uproar today because they won't obey the word of God. Not only that, I'm going to tell you, churches today are not doing what God has called them to do. People's not being saved. Attendance are falling off. Why? Because they won't do what God has called them to do in the word of God. But also the blessing of protection. Exodus 23:22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemy and adversary unto thy adversary. I'm going to tell you the problem of coming now. You see wars and rumors of wars coming. I'm going to tell you we're close to being in war probably we ever have before, maybe in our life. We don't know when a nuclear is going to hit our country because I'm going to tell you they're aiming in our country. And only God has always protect our country. Why is this happening? Because of disobedience. That's why it's happening. Because we have disobeyed the word of God and we are under God's judgment. Whether you believe it or not, I'm telling you the truth from the word of God, and God is going to judge this nation. I'm not scared of other nations of this world. I'm going to tell you what, I fear God because what he has got to do, because he is a holy God and he can't keep putting up what people claim they are in Christ Jesus and they're not doing what God has called us to do of this nation that we're living in. I'm telling you, the blessing of peace, the blessing of protection, the blessing of power. The power in our country today, not our military power, although we've been the most powerful country in the world and still are, but I'm going to tell you, it's falling in a hurry, and all economical power, but I'm going to tell you, it all comes from God. In Acts 5:32, it says, you know, power to witness. And we are his witness of these things. So is the Holy Spirit when God have given to them that obey him. God's given the unction of the Holy Spirit to the people that obeys him. We all have it if you say, but there's something great and powerful about it if we'd obey. God's not going to give the power of the Holy Spirit to rebels. That's the reason that we weak and anemic and don't have the power to do what we ought to be doing for Jesus Christ because we are rebels. But God to those who yield to his will. People ask us a lot of times, and thank God they do, to put so-and-so on the prayer list. They come on Wednesday night, put so-and-so on the prayer list. And we put them on the prayer list. We put them in a prayer box, and we pray for those people. But I want to tell you one thing. They don't nobody go to that person and don't never come to church that claim they're a Christian and they never come to church. You never hear them call that person up and say, hey, how about you praying for my daughter, praying for my kid, praying for my problem? Why? Because they're going to get somebody that's obeying to God's word and his commandment on Wednesday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning to obey. Because you're not God's rebels. I'm going to tell you what, you're God's receivers. And that's the reason we have the power of God to pray. That's the reason you need to be here on Wednesday night, every one of you. And you know what? People get plumb mad at me, get mad all you want to when I say, if you're a child of God, you'll have your family in a house of God at Sunday school on Wednesday night, and people got mad, they won't come back because of what I said. But go ahead and do what you want to. You find you somebody to soft soak it any way you want to. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're a child of God, you ought to be here and you ought to have your family here. They so mad that some of them ain't back, been back in over a year. They get mad at me all they want to, but I didn't say that. God did. Why you gonna get mad at a preacher for? I'm trying to help you. The blessings of power that God has given us. I'm gonna tell you, the blessings of power. As you look at these verses of scripture, I'm gonna tell you the blessings of purity. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love, the brethren. You see that you love one another with that pure heart, fervent heart, that pure heart, because you see, we have this blessing of purity. And I tell you, Psalm 119:100 says, he says, you know, I have done all these things because I've obeyed the word of God, blessing of also of his presence. I'm hurrying on right now. I'll be through in just a minute. But you see, the blessing of God's presence. Now, this is one of the greatest things that you need, the power of obedience, but it needs to come through the blessing of God's presence. In John chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Did you know when people right now, I'm going to tell you some people, it's sick. Their family's sick. Some is going through the valley of shadow of death, and others, I'm going to tell you, been dreadful sick. Some lost of loved ones. And you know, one time more than any other time, you know what? You need this verse of scripture called the blessing of his presence of God. Because you see, when you're down in that valley, that's when you have the presence of God. And you want the power of God. You want the presence of God to manifest itself on that person right there because of that great comfort they need. More than any other time of your life, when you're going through something very, very bad, you need the presence of God. And all comes if you just obey the word of God. Just obey the word of God. As it comes to the song of invitation, I want to tell you a true story. It's so true, it happens, you know, all the time. A man and a son, they had a great, great relationship together. A young boy grew up, and they had just a great relationship together. Father and son had a good family, good relationship. And the son got a little older, and they were sitting in the house there, an old log house there, the fireplace was burning. And, you know, the father says, son, how about getting up and putting another piece of wood on the fire? Well, the old boy was getting kind of grown then. He says, Daddy, I don't want to. Well, the father said, well, son, you need to get up and get another piece of wood and put it on the fire. He said, well, Daddy, I don't want to get up right now and put a piece of wood on the fire. He said, well, I have asked you to, and I kind of plead with you now. He said, I'm your father, and I'm telling you to get up and put another piece of wood on the fire. He said, I'm not going to get up and put another piece of wood on the fire. He said, son, this is my house. You're going to obey me or you're going to go out? He said, well, I'm not going to obey you. I just pick up my clothes and I leave. So he did. He walked outside. It was snowing, raining, and cold. He stayed outside for 2 or 3 hours and walked down the road. He says, you know, I'm a fool. It's plumb warm back there in my father's house, and all I had to do was go pick up one little piece of wood and put it on the fire. So he come to himself. He says, knocked on the door, said, Dad, I want to come back in. Well, tears in his dad's eyes. He says, son, come on back in. Come on back in. You know, and they fellowship together, and he said one thing and more, though, son. He's still going to have to get up and go get that piece of wood and put it on the fire because it's still my house. I'm going to tell you what God said in each and every one of us. You want to come home? Every one of you want to come home? This is still God's earth. It's still God's house, and you're still going to have to do what God has told you to do, whether you like it or not. As we stand for a song of invitation.